You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
John 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it."
The universe shows us that even in the midst of the darkness, the light came into being, first in the form of a fireball that burned unabated, cooking in its immensely hot oven the matter that gave birth to the first atomic creatures, hydrogen and helium.
A billion years of stewing and stirring in the gifts of hydrogen and helium birthed galaxies, spinning, whirling, alive galaxies, which in turn created trillions of stars, lights in the heavens, and cosmic furnaces that made more gifts through violent explosions of vast supernovas burning bright with the glow of more than a billion stars.
Gifts upon gifts, gifts birthing gifts, gifts exploding, gifts imploding, gifts of light, gifts of darkness, cosmic gifts and subatomic gifts, all drifting and swirling, being born and dying, all of it moving inexorably forward, which was also a gift.
One of these supernova gifts exploded in such a distinctive way that it gifted the universe with what later coming creatures would one day call Earth. Our home, wrapping it with beauty and dignity and just the right protection from sun's radiation and the cold of the cosmos.
The gifted planet was set as a jewel in a most exquisite setting. New gifts arose, never seen in such forms in the universe. Rocks, oceans, continents, multicellular creatures that moved by their own inner power.
Life was born. Ancient gifts that have taken the form of helium and fireball, galaxies and stars, now took on the form of life, a new gift of the universe.
For the author of the Gospel of John, Jesus was so important that the traditional birth stories we share at Christmas were not good enough. Forget the shepherds and the wise men, the manger and the animals. John placed Jesus' birth in the beginning, indispensable to creation itself, one with God, one with the evolving cosmos, and one with humanity.
After 14 billion years, this light, this gift, this universe was capable of producing somebody like Jesus. Not an interruption of natural processes, but a fulfillment, an expression of natural grace. The fullness of life, Jesus shows what the universe is capable of. The trajectory of the cosmic process is gathered up in Jesus.
As followers of this Jesus, we embrace the call on our lives to live into the same grace and fullness that Jesus lived, embodying and enacting a new creation. As John reminds us, what has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people.
For a lot of people, the main point of the Gospels are flashy miracles and the fulfillment of prophecy. And in Luke and in Matthew, prophecy and miraculous events do play a big role. Yet in Paul's letters and in the Gospel of Mark, which is our very earliest gospel, there's no mention whatsoever of an extraordinary birth for Jesus at all. In fact, Paul goes out of his way to say that Jesus was born of a woman, just like us. And whether you see the Christmas stories as historical events that actually happened, or as I do, as parables, the important thing for us to remember is to explore what they mean. What do they mean for us today? And the challenge for us is to not get distracted by arguing over whether this happened or that happened, or not, or to embrace Jesus' teachings is what we're on about. To find out what his teachings meant then and what they mean for us today, and try as best as we can with the guidance of the Spirit to live a life of faith in the here and in the now.
For many people, Christmas is about an otherworldly power breaking into reality to set things right, when the big picture is about something really very this-worldly. A vulnerable refugee child of no account, who despite all the realities of the world arrayed against him, was able to demonstrate a power that transcended hate and fear.
Let's sing together. Good news, arise in humble guise, as baby born a woman, that we might see the dignity enfleshed in every human. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, a babe, the Son of Mary. What child is this in every land who cries when food is lacking?
John Shelby Spong asks us to look at Jesus and see a model for our own lives. Nothing diminished his life. He never diminished anybody else's life. People betrayed him, and he responded by loving them. People denied him, and he responded by loving them. People forsook him, and he responded by loving them. People tormented him, and he responded by loving them. People killed him, and he responded by loving them.
How else could he communicate to people like you and me that there is nothing we can ever do, there is nothing we can ever be, that will place us outside the boundaries of the love of God? God calls us to live, to love, and to be all that we can be. Why? So the divine can live in and through us.
Blessed are they who find Christmas in the fragrance of the desert, the song of the wind through the Palo Verdes, and the soft flicker of candles.
To them shall come memories of love and happiness.
Blessed are they who find Christmas in the glimmering of stars in the dark skies of winter.
Their lives may ever reflect their light and beauty.
Blessed are they who find Christmas in the age-old story of a child born in a stable and laid in a manger.
To them, a little child will always mean hope and promise in a troubled world.
Blessed are they who find Christmas in the joy of gifts sent lovingly to others.
They shall share the gladness and joy of the shepherds and sages of old.
Blessed are they who find Christmas in the message of Jesus of Nazareth. As we come together this night and remember that we are truly fortunate to be here celebrating this time, to take this time apart from our busy lives and celebrate this moment of togetherness with family and friends, and to remember how lucky we are. We come together to offer our gifts tonight, and as United Methodists, one of the things that we are part of is a connection with literally tens of thousands of other Methodist churches all over the world. And we do things together that we could not do on our own. And so what we're going to do tonight is the entire Christmas offering is going to go to ministries beyond our local church. So it's going to go out there to all the different ministries that the Methodist Church has in the world, from UMOM and Imagino Malaria to Africa University in Zimbabwe. All our efforts to try and reflect God's love in the world. And the beauty of this is that we are in a place where whatever we give tonight, 100% will go into these different ministries, because the Methodist Church already exists in these places, and so we're funding ministries that feed over 1 million children every day, ministries that are prepared in places that have disasters, and we can place materials there before the disasters even happen. It's a wonderful network, and it's one that is an expression of who we are as Methodists, and it makes me really proud. And so I hope you'll give generously so that we can continue to support others around the world.
Christ the Lord.
Let's pray together. With another Christmas, we celebrate the gift of life itself and the gift of every resource that enhances life. Above all, we're thankful for the life and spirit of Jesus, for leading us to put our hope and trust in the spirit of life and love, moving in the depths of our being. May we too be creators of a better world. May we find a good purpose and satisfaction in the life that we're given. And may we leave behind us a trail of encouragement and hope. Amen. So let me ask you the question that some of you may be asking. What is this tribute to Carl Sagan tonight? All the billions and billions of galaxies and all of the stars and the hydrogen and the helium. What in the world does that have to do with Christmas? Well, first of all, let me say that that is not Carl Sagan. What you heard read to us tonight are none other than some of the most well-respected theologians that are working in our lifetimes. One of them, many of you know, is Thomas Berry. One is Sister Ilia Delio, Matthew Fox, Bruce Sangwin, Michael Morwood, and so many more. I don't know if you've ever heard of the concept of big history. Anybody been following big history? You need to Google it, because it is the coming thing. It is what we are trying to do as human beings to place ourselves in cosmic history, not just in the last 3,000 or 4,000 years that we have records of, but to realize that the universe is 14, say it with me, billion years old, right? And the way that it's figured is that we, on the great time clock of things, we only exist in the last split second of time, if you look at the entire history of the cosmos. And so theologians and thinkers all over the world are trying to figure out, what do we do now with a story that we as people of faith have been telling for generations that only accounts for such a small little bit of what constitutes all of history? And so what many are doing is trying to say, we need to look at our theology in the same way that historians and scientists and astrophysicists are looking at the rest of the universe. We need to look at Christmas in a big way. We need to celebrate a big Christmas. And as was mentioned in our readings today, you know, Mark is our first gospel. There are no Christmas stories in Mark, mainly because Mark just wanted to get on with the action. So he skipped all of Jesus' early life and childhood and young adulthood. Matthew and Luke came along and created the Christmas stories for us. And then John came along all those years later. And you know what? The shepherds, the wise men, the star, all of that just wasn't enough for him. Wasn't enough. Said Jesus is more than that to John. And so he placed Jesus' beginning at the very beginning of time, at the very moment of creation, and said, in that moment, Jesus was the spirit of life, something that we still don't completely understand, but we're still striving to describe it all of these years later. That Jesus is someone who came along that couldn't have come along any sooner than he did, and that we are people that have come along no sooner than we could have, and yet we are integrated with one another. And we're called to see what Jesus did in his life and try to live up to that. We are a part of an evolving faith, of people who are growing into a new humanity. Whereas even just a generation ago, we would, without question, we would reject people of other faiths. We would reject people of other nationalities. We would reject people. We would put women down. We would put other races down. And yet we see that our call as followers of Jesus is to do so much more than that. It's not just about saying the Jesus prayer and getting your first class ticket to heaven. I'm sorry. There's much more to it than that. It's a lot harder row to hoe. And as we come together, how many of you have never heard the Christmas story before? Right? Right? Never heard it before? So you're not missing anything if I don't go through the whole manger thing, right? What I want you to do is not be able to leave here tonight with going, well, dang, that was the creepiest sermon I ever heard at a Christmas Eve service. That was weird. And talk with it. Talk with your loved ones around the dinner table. Figure out, what was he talking about? And I think that's what we need to do, is we need to not just fall back on the tried and true and just let it roll, because it becomes so rote that it doesn't mean anything to most of us anymore. We just come around and sing some songs and say, wasn't that nice? So my challenge tonight is for us to grasp not just the wonder of a birth of a child, which is wonderful, but to remember what that child grew up to teach. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And guess what? That's not even original to Jesus. He was channeling his own Jewish faith. It's right out of Deuteronomy. And he said, the first is this, and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. These are all good things. And we pride ourselves at this church at trying to encourage people to live the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, I want to just leave you with a little challenge for Christmas. I want us to step it up. I want to move beyond the golden rule tonight. I want to challenge you to go out and live the platinum rule. Have you ever heard of the platinum rule? The platinum rule would have been on the top of Jesus' preaching list if he would have thought of it. But here it is. The golden rule is to love one another. You treat others the way you want to be treated. The platinum rule takes it one step further, and it says to treat other people the way they want you to treat them. Do you see the difference? If you're living the golden rule, you're just assuming that every person you meet is just like you, and that if you treat them the way you want to be treated, that's golden, right? It's the golden rule. We need to step it up. We need to not assume that everybody is like us. Because when you pledge to live the platinum rule, to treat other people the way they want you to treat them, guess what that demands? A relationship with that person. A conversation. Because you have to ask them, how would you like me to treat you? And all of a sudden, that starts to create a bridge to another person's life and their stories and what's important to them and who they are. And wasn't that what Jesus was all about? He didn't look at people and assume things about them. He engaged with their lives one-on-one. And then he acted. And that's really what we're called to do, I think, in this 21st century, is to stop assuming that everybody is just like us, wants to be treated like us, and enter into genuine conversation and relationships with others. So I hope that is the craziest Christmas message you've ever heard, and that you'll be able to take that with you and turn it over in your mind and in your heart and think about the ways that you can take this platinum rule out into the world and see how the world changes. Let's pray. On this night, we celebrate the creativity and presence of the divine being seen as one of us, a baby, needy and vulnerable, wrapped in a woman's womb, born into poverty and exile, to proclaim the good news to the poor and to let the broken victims go free. Like one of us, he grew in wisdom as he aged. He questioned. He searched for meaning. He shaped his convictions. And he dreamed of a better world, a better humanity. As we go from this place this night, may we too dream of a better world and a better humanity. That as we sing of joy to the world and peace among all, that we take unto ourselves the awesome privilege and responsibility of being partners with one another and expressions of the Spirit, that Spirit of Jesus still at work today. May we know that Spirit guiding us. We gather as followers of this Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.